Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning.
A quick update on Joe Rex Road. He is recovering well from not having Lyme disease.
It's good to know. We were really concerned.
The doctors for non-Lyme disease in New York are terrific.
Really good stuff from him. Apparently an itch on the tick bite, which is a good thing, according to Rex Road. But there was high concern from him the other day. High concern. Not high enough to go to the emergency room on Sunday night, but high enough to leave the show halfway through on Monday. So
interesting.
Semi-high concern.
Interesting choices. I would be here with or without Lyme disease. I'm just saying.
You would. You would. A lot of reaction continuing to pour in on PK's rant on Stilly. By the way, Stilly will be with us on the program tomorrow morning at 7. Normally on Fridays at 7, but he will be with us tomorrow, as will Charles Robinson. So, Stilly on the program tomorrow, which I'm sure this debate will come up.
I think we could just open the floor and let him talk about all his similarities to Tom Brady.
We will see how that goes.
Give him a rope.
Tomorrow on the program. The NFL owners have approved a resolution that will allow players to try out for flag football in the 2028 Olympics. That will be the first time that the Olympics will have flag football as a part of it. So that part of it's been approved. Now we'll see when the time comes which NFL players actually have interest in participating in this. But the general reaction seems to be that there will be heavy interest. Justin Jefferson has been a part of the discussions to help with all this. So I'm interested to see how many NFL players are in on this and they want to try to go play flag football at the Olympics. Now, when this first started coming out, PK, as a possibility, we talked about, you know, the actual flag football teams that are out there that are competing for a spot in the Olympics. A lot of these players for the American teams are just like, yeah, these NFL guys think they're just going to come in here and take our spots. We'll see how that goes down. So I guess we will. I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Yeah, newsflash. That is going down.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's out again. Like, not just them, but like their quote-unquote fans, I guess, or the grassroots flag football community. Like, you know, it's not the same game. Yeah, there are elements of the same game. The guy who's the best in the world at throwing it and the guys who are the best in the world at catching it, that'll translate.
It'll probably be pretty good.
That'll translate pretty well. And if you're the best in the world at catching and throwing it in the flag game, that is not going to translate against Justin Jefferson or Josh Allen.
I wouldn't think so.
It's not. You're going to lose out. And guess what? You're not going to be their backups either.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the unfortunate thing. It's ridiculous that flag football would be an Olympic sport.
Who's going to compete?
It's the NFL heavy-handedly getting itself, you know, another step in the globalization process. That's why it's a unanimous vote.
Yep.
Everybody wants to be expand. I do not believe football's ever going to be but an international deal. It's uniquely American. It's just going to be weird. I don't think it'll last as an Olympic thing. I don't even think it's going to have a dream team feel to it because it's not the same game. I think you can throw fades at will, to somebody like Justin Jefferson, and it won't even be really compelling TV. But because it's NFL people, it'll get incredibly well rated, right?
Yep. Troy Vincent, the executive VP of football operations for the NFL, did make the Dream Team comparison, says the impact will be similar to what the Dream Team did for the NBA on the global stage, which is a pretty freaking lofty goal by the NFL, so we'll see if that actually happens. But again, like, you know, not to say that people, that there were any true competitors to the Dream Team, but at least, like, there were other countries that played basketball. Like, if it goes down this way, who is competing against the U.S. with NFL players at the Olympics?
I would say this is more like the three-on-three basketball.
Yes.
And so, like, who were the biggest names involved in three-on-three basketball? It wasn't that old NBA guys couldn't have gone and won the 3-on-3 basketball, or that guys who are on the fringe of you know, the last three guys cut from the American basketball team couldn't have gone and won the 3-on-3 basketball. They just weren't interested in it, like most of us. How much 3-on-3 basketball did you watch in the Olympics?
Very little.
Less than volleyball, less than swimming, less than track
actual
and field,
basketball.
Less than Olympic sports. And I still appreciate the Olympics for being Olympic sports. All this peripheral stuff that comes and goes, the baseball, the golf, like, it's a curiosity. It's not the Olympics to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, again, like, maybe it does have some sort of impact globally. Now, again, flag football and actual NFL football are different sports. Not that the NFL players won't translate to flag football, because, I mean, when you're the fastest, the strongest, the most accurate, that's going to translate to flag football. But, I mean, if you're trying to grow your game, we'll see how it goes. I doubt very seriously it's going to have the same global impact that the Dream Team had on basketball
and
around the country.
Here's what will have a massive impact. Somebody tearing his ACL at that. And it's kind of a carve-out from some training camp, maybe. Or it's right before training camp, might cut into the very beginning of training camp. Somebody suffers a significant injury there, this whole thing's going to get rethought. Now, it can only be one guy per team, I think. Now, there could be other NFL guys in it playing for, you know, a country where they have citizenship. And,
right.
And we know the league has several of those. You know, if you have an international exemption – like Thomas Odokoya has, you can, depending on what your federation of that country has, you're eligible to play for them. Another marketing angle here for the Titans, separate of the Olympics, and I've thought, and I think a lot of us have thought, that as these teams around the NFL have planted flags in international markets, that it was a mistake for the Titans not to get involved in this. And my kind of vague understanding was that they thought, we have our own marketing challenges at home and in America, and we need to deal with that. So I wonder that it was initially reported by Nick Suss and quickly announced by the team yesterday that they are now one of, I think, five teams that have marketing rights in Ireland.
Yep.
I wonder if that wasn't more presented to them by the city, thinking, hey, we've got some Music City kind of connections with Ireland, and now, and this was emphasized by them and what they said, a direct flight.
Yep.
Is that all it takes, a direct flight and some Celtic music? Maybe.
Maybe so.
But look, I think any NFL team would be crazy to be passing on the international marketing opportunities. You go over there, have some kind of marketing presence, stir up some fan clubs in some pubs that creates some people over there deciding, you know, we've got people here shopping for EPL teams all the time.
I was just about to bring that up.
Braden Gall's about to do a podcast series on that. He's going to pick an EPL team. So if somebody in Ireland is picking an NFL team, you're now presenting yourself as an option for them. Say they decide, hey, you know, this is a rebuilding team with a first quarterback in the draft. I'm going to pick the Titans. And then eventually they hop on that flight, the direct from Dublin to Nashville, and they come here. Well, I mean, we're a tourism town first and foremost. And they come here and they buy some Titan stuff and they take it back and they wear it. I mean, all that little bit does some stuff for you. And next thing you know, you take your wife on a vacation to Dublin and you see a Cam Ward jersey or two.
Yeah.
And those are seeds. And that's really healthy and good, considering how much the NFL is pushing itself. But I do think, tell me if you agree with this, I think as a fan sport, the NFL can grow internationally. People can be interested in it. But that doesn't turn it into a playing sport in those places.
I would agree with that. And also, like, you know, we're seeing the NFL try to expand where they're going with some of these games, right? Like, they went to Brazil last year. They're going back to Brazil this year. They're going to, you know, all over Europe
Australia.
At this point. They're eventually going to end up in China at some point and try to go all that route. So, they're trying to expand it globally, and I get that. As you know, if you're going, if you're a Titans fan that's been over when they've gone to London, I'm sure you really enjoyed the experience. For somebody who is just has been here in the United States, and you know, Packers are my team. They played in Brazil last year. Like, I want to know part of that. The coaches will never they'll never say it. The coaches want zero part of it. You know, Joe Burrow got there yesterday and was like, "Yeah, send us overseas. It would be great." So some players do really like it, but I think by and large, the teams themselves look at it and they say, "Yeah, great. This is just a big nuisance."
Well, Joe Burrow's thinking the same thing. My jersey selling in new exotic places, or not exotic, helps me and helps us, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd just as soon go play internationally as for the, what, fourth time in 4 years, play on a short week in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
It's really amazing how it's worked out that way.
Seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not an accident.
No, that's not. That's
and
not
that
good.
Is unfair competition stuff. If you're looking, I tweeted this when Warren Sharp tweeted that out. If you're looking for NFL injustices and conspiracy stuff, look there. How do the Bengals not get the Ravens at home on a short week? How
one time.
Yeah. Not balance out over the course of 5 years?
Yeah, that's not good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Some of your reaction to get to on the NFL flag football front. We'll do that coming up next. Get back into the Titans as well with PK. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us for the rest of the week here on the program. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden throwing it out there. Who he thinks playing quarterback for the U.S.? He thinks Joe Burrow would be the perfect pick. Dennis saying, I'm having visions of Robert Edwards ending his career playing beach football during Pro Bowl week. Why would an NFL player risk it? This is from Dennis on the text line. What do you make of those two questions?
Well, at the very least, it's not sand. So, I mean, at least you're – I'm presuming it's grass?
I would assume so.
Yeah. So, at least it's some semblance of the same game on grass. There's no real pass rush. But, sure, you're jumping. You know, there are landings and cutting that are certainly a concern. And, again, there's potential for injury all the time. Now, there's some sort of insurance and all of that. All that stuff's built in. But you being lost to your team, is not. There's no accounting.
No insurance for that.
No accounting for that. And so, and the Robert Edwards thing is the cautionary tale about any kind of side football thing. Though sand is certainly a different factor, and they got the hell away from the beach very quickly after that. What was the second part?
I mean, as far as who's playing quarterback, I mean, my initial guess would probably be Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of quarterback running.
No.
So, you know,
Lamar Jackson to get in there.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson and Mahomes are not. Really, I think it's based on interest level, but wouldn't it be interesting if, you know, I think you'd pre-negotiate this thing, because you're not going to put two guys in competition, right?
I mean, wouldn't think so.
You're going to go have a Burrow Josh Allen competition that some flag football coach is going to pick a winner? That would be
Joe, go home.
Let me see some reality TV on that.
There's your Hard Knocks right there behind the scenes of the USA team in 2028.
Jordan would mess that up. She'd want some ownership and executive producer credits.
What a wild story.
What's
that
her
is.
Last name? Hudson?
Yeah, Hudson.
Jordan Hudson.
Apparently they're now engaged, according to
the New York Times article.
The New York Times article.
Was that Athletic or New York Times? It's kind of weird. I think
yeah.
It was a New York Times.
I think it was
article.
New York Times. Yeah.
It's bigger than the Athletic.
Whole thing's weird. Although people have on the YouTube chat, you know, Stilly apparently spent a lot of time on Belichick yesterday. Like, I get why the Belichick thing is a national story. It's Bill Belichick, so I understand it. Like, how much do people around here actually care about?
I think people around everywhere care about him.
Okay.
I mean, here's a guy that was a master of control that now is giving away a segment of control. The master of minimizing distractions, creating an ultimate distraction. I mean, I hate to use that phraseology, but, you know, 10 years ago, I tell you that this guy's going to be in a fisherman's outfit with a young girlfriend dressed as a mermaid, and he's fishing her out of the seashore. I mean, it's unfathomable.
It really is.
It's just such a striking contrast. And in the sports world, striking contrasts, they sell.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. But hey, if they're engaged, congratulations to them, I guess.
And I mean, I just, for some reason, it heightens my curiosity about how UNC is going to do this season. Yeah. And for some reason, it makes me really want them not to do well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
Is that wrong?
I don't think so.
Most people feeling that?
I think most people are. But it could be a glorious tire fire to watch happen. Caleb with a vote for Baker Mayfield as starting quarterback for USA on the text line.
Baker's getting a little old, isn't he?
He's not as old as you think.
He's probably his late 20s.
He's 30.
He's 30, yeah. So he'll be 33.
Yeah.
I mean, is 33 old for a flag football player? I think of it as a kid's game.
I do, too.
Mostly because kids play it, mostly.
Who knows? Maybe Cam Ward is the quarterback, by the way. Heading to the Olympics, and you're covering Cam Ward as Team USA's quarterback here in 3 years. What do you think of that?
That would be very budgetarily difficult. I think I might not be able to pull that one off. That might be TV covered.
I will say, people bring up how many players are going to want to participate. I mean, some of it, like the opportunity to go get an Olympic gold medal is pretty cool. So I think you're going to find enough NFL players that want to go do it.
Will these players live in the Olympic Village?
That's a good question. I say yes.
I say the quarterback gets like a phenomenal Airbnb, like a 20-bedroom mansion with a pool and the whole deal, and they operate out of there.
They just come do their own thing. I mean, it is nice that the first time they're going to do
this. But
they
walk through the Olympic Village, and Mike Tirico narrates them walking through the Olympic Village, and they bring, like, cupcakes for everyone.
I mean, it is nice that the first time this is going to happen is going to be in the United States, so a little home field advantage for Team USA.
I mean, I would not get within Las Vegas might be too close to Los Angeles at that time. I would stay away from Phoenix, Los Angeles,
Seattle.
Yeah, Denver might be too close. Like, don't go to Mountain Time.
One texter says they should just create the flag football team with the best college players. Well, that ship has sailed at this point. The NFL's going. NFL's excited about
Ziegler wants in.
Yeah, it's Zakai Ziegler. He's a slot receiver for Team USA. 615-737-1025. Get back into the Titans Code of Next. A lot of your Titans thoughts to get to with PK. We'll rapid fire some of those coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Paul Kuharski with us for the rest of the week here on the program. Got some tickets to give away to see Penn and Teller at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Wednesday, June the 11th. Be caller number 4, 615-737-1025. Caller 4 will win a pair of tickets to see Penn and Teller at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Wednesday, June 11th.
Which one doesn't speak?
I don't know.
Do we think that they'll ever, like, when they're, like, wrapping up their careers, he'll break his silence? Like, they'll do one last tour with him speaking?
Maybe so. Teller is the silent one, by the way.
Teller.
So Teller.
Yep. I really want to hear from Teller.
Tell her we need your thoughts.
Call in.
Maybe you hear it at the Ryman Auditorium.
Let's get them as guests. When are they coming?
June the 11th.
On June 10th, Penn and Teller will be in studio as guests. And we'll hear from both of them. Deep thoughts.
June the 11th is a Wednesday, so I think, while you're in here, let's get them in. See if we can't get them to talk into the microphone.
Ian, an assignment.
Let's get after Penn and Teller. 615-737-1025.
You could really go a long way towards winning me over if you could get Teller.
Oh, yeah.
Teller. Penn could sleep in.
Yeah, we'll just sleep Penn alone. Just get Teller in here. Taking your
get Teller and then get, like, either a court reporter or a sign language person.
Yeah, exactly. The mimes in there. Do some of that. 615-737-1025, your questions to get to from PK. Got one question from an unnamed texter on the text line that says, PK, I'm really sick about moving Latham to right tackle. It feels like they gave up on him being the franchise left tackle way too early. What do you make of that idea, and is there any way they move him back if the Dan Moore experiment doesn't work in the next couple of years.
Oh, please don't. Don't open the door for Dan Moore failing. Yeah, I mean, if Dan Moore fails, then they're back to the drawing board. With
you'd probably be drafting one at that point again. Yeah. Which I'm sure is exactly what Titans fans want to hear.
But look, I take them at face value for what they say. They needed a tackle for sure. Now, they needed, you know, conceivably a right tackle. They go into free agency. The guy they like best is Dan Moore. And Dan Moore is very much a left tackle. And so they say, all right, we're going to take the best tackle that we see here. They aggressively pursued him. He had several other good suitors, including, to my understanding, Kansas City Chiefs, who went with Jalen Moore, who was a lot less proven because he's backing up an all-pro caliber guy in San Francisco. And so they make the move, and they say, hey, now, you know, we've got a quality veteran left tackle. It makes sense to move a guy we drafted and see as a good left tackle, but know is probably a better right tackle. Move him back to right tackle and go from there. And so, you know, it should work. But, you know, it's hard to give the Titans the benefit of the doubt on anything at all, and certainly on anything offensive line. Outside of Cam Ward, offensive line is the biggest question. Okay. Bill Callahan's the biggest question. And we've got to wait and see. Now, you know, a couple of the things. Confusing front office and player. Zeitler is a proven, very good, very solid guy. The only thing that gets in his way is if he's hurt or if he runs into a wall.
Yep.
Right? But right guard should absolutely be foundationally better. Right? Skoronski and Latham, you're counting on growth and increased comfort with Latham getting back to the right side. Moore says, despite giving up sacks, he was between people.
Yeah. I was in front of him.
And Cushenberry, you want the Achilles to heal well. It would be hard for them not to be better. How much better?
Well, that's the question. They need Latham to be a really, really good right tackle. Like, yeah. You drafted him 7th overall to be your franchise left tackle, and you've pivoted from that, which is fine if Dan Moore works out and is adequate on the left side. But you need, like, when you draft an offensive tackle that high, you need them to be a borderline elite player.
They took Jack Conklin 8th.
I think it was 8th, yeah.
They took Latham 7th.
Yeah.
Jack Conklin was all pro. That might be asking a lot, but, if you draft a right tackle that high, he needs to be damn good.
Yeah. He needs to be a really good player. And if he's not, then that's concerning to me after this year. And, you know, does he have to be an all pro this year? No, but you need to walk away from this season looking at J.C. Latham and knowing that he is a, you know, barring injury, a franchise tackle for you. Like, when you're drafting somebody that high and now he's going back to his natural position, they need him to be a force out there. And frankly, we spend so much time talking about the passing game. Like, the opportunity to run the ball to the right side needs to be a strength for this football team.
And we need to start looking at some of these guys. Latham will only be through 2 years, but Skoronski will be through 3.
Exactly.
We need to start looking at them and saying, that's a second contract guy.
Yeah.
Not just a second contract guy like you want to fight with the league to sign him to a second contract. You want to sign him well in advance of him hitting the market.
I got one.
If you don't start having those guys on your roster, this thing will go on forever in terms of needing to replenish.
I got one texter that says, I'm not going to waste time asking about Treylon Burks and if he's going to make an impact for the Titans this year. My question is, does he make the team at all, or is Treylon Burks going to get cut at the end of camp?
I think it's more likely than not that he's not on the team. You have to give up at some point. But look, you know, they had last training camp was like they were worried about parading the free agents through, right? The big free agent acquisitions. They didn't want to overhype things.
Clearly.
So take a lesson from that. That's a mistake. That's a misinterpretation of overhyping things. Where you don't want to overhype things is don't roll everybody out saying that Treylon Burks is the next. Who were they saying? Who did Calvin Ridley call them the next?
God, I don't remember who he called him. I don't know. But it was extreme.
Somebody massive.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't Jerry Rice, but it was a step short of Jerry Rice. I don't want, and I think all of us don't want to hear in training camp about how great Treylon Burks is. Tell us in training camp that Treylon Burks has a chance to be on the field and contribute. That's the most you should be saying about Treylon Burks.
Agreed.
Put a gag order on the team about over-talking about Treylon Burks. That's where you shouldn't be throwing parades and overhyping. That's where the Rand Carthon checking every box thing came back to kill you. Do not allow yourself. Here's a message for the new PR director when he or she gets in. Don't allow that stuff to happen because it makes you look foolish. If he's a pleasant surprise, let him be a pleasant surprise. The odds are heavily against that. Odds are he recovers from this ACL. He gets out there. I don't know if he's ready at the beginning or if he starts on PUP. But once he's out there, odds are he gets hurt again. And making plays in training camp and in preseason games, we overrate it. Kyle Phillips was good at it. We've seen receivers who are consistently good at it. We've seen running backs who make plays in the fourth quarter. Julius Chestnut is a big preseason player. Don't get hyped up by that. And Burks will be a part of that if he's anything. Now, there needs to be counterbalance to Burks. So if Isle Manor isn't good, then there's more room for Burks. If DK isn't good, then there's more room for you to keep Burks. You need these guys to emerge and do what they're expected to do. Otherwise, then you default to Burks and you say, hey, looks pretty big. Did you see him jump and make that catch?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He jumped and made that catch, and he didn't land and hit his head. Progress.
I mean, I hope – I say this, I feel like, on a yearly basis at this point because I get it. I know how it goes. Like, we're right around the corner from football season, and by the time training camp gets here, everybody's excited. So we overreact to everything that happens at the training camp practice. Like, how much last year did we start talking about Jalen Harrell? Like, Jalen Harrell, he might get out there and give this team some reps.
Two good games.
What did Jalen Harrell do?
Nothing in games.
Absolutely nothing.
Like, he played snaps.
Right.
There's something to say for playing snaps. But on a thin roster, sometimes it doesn't mean that much.
So, I'm not saying that nothing that happens in training camp, preseason games, whatever, is meaningful. Because, like, you know.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was meaningful.
Exactly.
On his
well,
way
I mean,
up.
Look, A.J. Brown's rookie year. It didn't take long to figure out he's probably a pretty good player and he was going to help you. So, like, maybe you get that from one of your receivers this year where it becomes clear that Isle Manor is going to be a pretty good player for him immediately. You can have takeaways, but we have been, as a market, we have reacted way too much to some of the training camp storylines around here over the last couple of years that in all actuality have amounted to almost nothing on the field. So
frequently,
let's avoid doing that this year.
Frequently, nothing. Treylon Burks is also just part of what needs to be purged here, right? If you're really looking to reset a culture and to let new people take over, you know, is Tyler Lockett better running that room with Treylon Burks in it or without him?
Probably without.
It's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, exactly. So. I just would caution, you know, it's going to happen with Cam Ward. Like, I know that heading into this. Like, there is going to be so many. Look, did you see Cam Ward out there today? He was great. And the Titans fans are going to eat that up. Or Cam Ward threw three picks at training camp today. Did you see that? Like, we're going to, with the quarterback, it's going to come naturally.
Well, people are going to keep his numbers.
Yeah,
which
for sure.
Which is one thing, which is, you know, Mariota didn't throw a pick during that one camp or until the very end of that one camp. Well, what did that translate
to? You always have to keep in your back of the mind. There are limitations as to what practice and training camp and all that means when it comes to the actual games. You brought up the offensive line, and you've been consistent on this about, you know, it's a new offensive line. You've structured it differently, but there's no excuses for, like, coming together and taking four or five games into the season to hit your stride and develop chemistry. And they're going to get tested right off the jump, as we know, in the Denver game. Your confidence level that this team and this coaching staff with some guys that have played a lot of football on the offensive line can do that and be ready to go from the jump.
have to get a better feel for Moore and for Zeitler. And I haven't seen Zeitler yet or talked to him.
And Cushenberry's health going to factor into that, too, for sure.
Yeah, and Cushenberry's health. You know, I think it should definitely be there, but I can totally hear them saying 3 weeks in, like, still need time to gel, still a new group, still working on cohesion. You know, I think one of the important keys to it, Robbie, is, no camp injuries. You can't have a guy out with a bad toe or a groin strain. And I don't know that health has been an issue for them in training camps with these guys, but you need that.
Lack of talent has been an issue.
Yeah, you need that to continue, right? And I just don't know. I want to be optimistic there, but I'm tapping the brakes on all of my optimism. That's my off-season theme.
I have one more segment with PK to get to your Titans questions coming up next. 615-737-1025. Check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon with a buy one, get one free admission. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, where parking, tubes, and sunscreen, always free. Get this great deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Paul Kuharski with me for the rest of the week here on the program. PK, some news in the NFL to get to. The Lions have withdrawn their proposal for playoff reseeding. This was put out there about 10 minutes ago. So, as you said, expected to go that way. I got to tell you, I'm disappointed. I was rooting for that proposal to go through because I was a fan of the Lions' reseeding proposal. What say you about the proposal now being withdrawn and what the future of that decision could look like to reseed the playoffs?
Well, the Lions have made it very clear that it was their proposal in name, but it was the league's proposal, really. And this is becoming more and more clear. Goodell finds a team that will take on his agenda. Look, what does it mean for divisional play? What does it mean for divisional play if winning your division doesn't get you a home playoff game in a top four seed? I don't think there's been a plague of bad division winners getting home games over superior wildcard teams. I think it happens occasionally. I think when you let occasional things dictate policy, you get into dangerous territory. And this feels like it would be a move away from the traditional divisional stuff and into more of a conference stuff. I think the league has been a division-based league forever, and that's a good thing. And I think really everything Goodell does now is centered on one thing, 18 games.
Yep.
And so games at the end of a 17-game schedule have become less important. Too many of them have been not important. I think the 17-game schedule began in 2021, so we've got a good sample size of that, and there are too many games that are meaningless that could lead to more tanking. I'm not going to play my best team situations, and that's only going to get worse when they get to 18 games, which is their intention. And he is prioritizing getting ahead of any troubles that the 18-game schedule might cause. But what does it do to scheduling overall?
It's a good question. I like the idea of changing it up. Like, to me, your reward for winning your division is you make the playoffs. Like, that's your reward. But I don't think – like, to me, it's ridiculous that Minnesota won 14 games last year and they had to start the playoffs on the road. Now, to your point, does that happen every year? No, it does not happen that way every year. We have seen a Seattle team win 7 games, go 7-9, win their division, get in the playoffs. So, I like the reward being, well, you're making the playoffs. Like, if they ever took it too far where you winning your division isn't guaranteed to get you in the playoffs, like, that's way too far to me. I think that's stupid. But I don't think you should be guaranteed a home game just because you go 10-7 and win your division and this other team is sitting over here at 12-5. Like, I don't think it should work that way.
So, to be clear here, the Vikings were 14-3 and that was second in the NFC North. The Buccaneers were 10-7, a division winner.
Right.
The Rams were 10-7, a division winner. And the Commanders were 12-5. So last year in the NFC, the East had two teams, and the North had two teams that were better.
Yeah,
than
three
the
teams
NFC
in the
South
North.
Winner.
Yeah.
Oh, 11-6. Yeah. Better than the NFC South winner and better than the NFC West winner. I don't know. I'm torn. Here, I think there'll be unintended consequences out of making the change. And I think it warrants a much more thorough and detailed examination. I'm not hell-bent on the division winner having a home game, but I think it does diminish what winning a division means. And so then the next question is, like, why division?
Right. Well, and
why not 16-team conference?
Right. Which
and
I don't think anybody wants to see that. Right.
I wouldn't mind for the Titans' sake, because I think Houston, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville makes for a bad division.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right?
Yeah,
and agree. So wouldn't you rather see more? Now, maybe from a competitive standpoint, you wouldn't. But wouldn't you rather be in the mix more with, you know, all these other teams that have more history and just a more diverse schedule? I don't like seeing the Colts and the Jaguars and the Texans twice.
So do you expect this to come back up
Yes.
and have some momentum to it in the coming years here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's basically almost all of these things start as trial balloons, right? The tush-push thing was out there last year, and it was to take people's temperatures and to shape it exactly right and everything. And by the end of the day, you know, that may be the main subject of Stillbilly and Company this afternoon.
Yep.
That's eliminated. So many of these things take 2 or 3 years to come to fruition. It does bother me too, though, that Green Bay's not interested in the tush push. Roger Goodell's interested in the tush push, and he got the Packers to take it on. NFC North had multiple playoff teams, and it's got multiple Goodell proposals flowing
it
through.
Does. It does. How are we feeling about your Knicks tonight as they go into game one against the Pacers?
Go, New York. Go, New York. Go, as we say. Look,
Ian and PK fired up about
the
Knicks.
I'm not going to pretend to have been on the Knicks bandwagon all the way, but I sure as hell am on it now. So much so that I might even watch the first half of an NBA game, which we know has literally no effect on what happens in the game ultimately.
Is there an amount of threes that either team could take tonight where you're just like, I can't do this anymore?
I'm not doing it. I think Boston is the mountain peak for that. So I know nothing about the Pacers. I'm curious to see who they are and what they're about. But I'm all in. New York, baby. We're going to the finals where Joe says we have no chance.
In the final four.
Yeah.
You have no chance.
No, he said if the Knicks get to the finals, they have zero chance. And I say Las Vegas will say otherwise.
That does it for us today here on the program.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks. Thanks for having me. I'll be back tomorrow.
PK will be back with me the rest of the week here on the program. Stilly on the show tomorrow. Charles Robinson will be with us as well. Jason, Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.